everyone, welcome back to But Whyther, the podcast where every week me, Kate, Adrian, and Matt talk about different things in pop culture that people say matter and ask the question, but why though? Before we get started, we want to make sure you head on over to our social media pages at But Why Though PC on Twitter, facebook.com/ButWhyThoughPC, and of course our Twitch channel where we stream video games and, you know, just have fun, twitch.tv/ButWhyThoughPC. And if you're feeling a little generous and want to support us a little bit more, head on over to Patreon, where you get show extras, shows a couple of days early, as well as all the fun perks that you can find at patreon.com/ButWhyThoughPC. And as always, thank you for tuning in. Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. It helps other people find us. And that's all I have. So enjoy the show. Today, we are welcoming you to Jurassic Park. As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
But before we get into all of the awesome dinosaur things, we want to give a big warm welcome to the Safari Zone podcast. They are a Pokemon podcast. They're amazing. Say welcome, guys.
Welcome. And we're going to talk about Jurassic Park while you guys do Safari Park.
The Safari Zone. Yeah, we're super excited to have them. With all the Pokemon stuff coming out, I'm sure y'all are going to have so much to talk about, and we are excited to have you join our Elite Four of podcasts. We're only at three, though.
I was like, what?
We need one more.
I was like, what?
I'm just...
And that could be you.
Yeah, that could be you, if you really want to.
But yeah, no, thanks. Their most recent episode, they talked about what they would do if they were in a Pokemon world. I don't want to be in a Pokemon world because
we're going to be in a Jurassic world now.
We are. Okay, listen to their promo, and then we'll be right back.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ash.
My name is Maggie.
I'm Peter.
And we're the Safari Zone podcast, a Pokemon podcast that talks about pretty much anything and everything Pokemon related.
I'm the show's anime expert.
I'm all about the video games.
I'm just the all-around jack-of-all-trades at Pokemon.
Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube. We have new episodes every Thursday.
So, because he's a scientist and because the only DVD he owns is Jurassic Park.
I actually own the VHS of this.
Okay, the only DVD and VHS he owns is Jurassic Park.
I was thinking, do they have DVDs yet? This was out.
Matt is going to be leading us through this wonderful world. Go ahead and take it over.
Is it really wonderful?
In theory, yes.
Okay, so I guess as we start as a question, since Kate has gotten lazy on actually asking the question.
Now I haven't done that for like six episodes.
I know, exactly. Have you watched the Jurassic Park, the original, and have you consumed anything other than like the movies?
Yes, I've watched Jurassic Park, the original. I actually thought, like, so when this movie came out in 1990, I was born in 93, so I was like really young when I saw it, and I thought... that the actors legit died in this movie. I thought, like, they legit got ate by dinosaurs, and that, like, the money they made just went to their family. So when Samuel Jackson's, like, died, I was like, dang, Samuel Jackson's family must be getting paid for him to be sacrificed to some dinosaurs. Other than, like, the movies, I'm sure I've played some games. I've played, like, Peter Piper had, like, the Jurassic Park game where you shot raptors and stuff. But I have never read the book, and I don't know if there's any other media other than that, but I'm sure we'll find out.
Yeah, so I love the movies. I've seen all of them multiple times. Fun fact, our dog freaks out at the sound of a T-Rex. Don't know why, and it's not even a scared freak out. But I've read the book. It's been years since I read it. And I played a few of the video games because my brother was, like, deathly afraid of dinosaurs, and, like, I loved them. And so I made him play it, which my mom didn't like. And then watched all the Lego shorts because the Lego ones are really good. But I think those are, like the Jurassic World ones.
Those are new.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I love Jurassic Park, so...
So the fun story to start this of Jurassic Park is, one, this is definitely the only VHS and DVD I own. It's my favorite movie. Do not own any of the other ones. And I've actually not really watched many of the other ones, as we'll get into later. But fun fact, my stepmom had a concussion, and I kept doing the raptor part of shoot her, and I did it so many times that I got embedded because she was having brain problems because she had a concussion, and to this day she never lets it down, and she still hates me and hates this entire movie. Because all she thinks about is shoot her. But apparently if you do that to somebody over and over while they have a concussion, they can probably go insane. So I do not recommend it.
How old were you?
Probably like 8.
I don't even know what to say.
I just can't stop laughing.
I have a lot of fun facts about this, about Jurassic Park with childhood.
Also, Adrian is starting his move to Austin, so we get him here for this recording. So if I'm laughing over his voice or anybody's voice, it's because we're only on one track today. And Matt is saying, shoot her.
Tanya, you can ask her about it. She still hates me for that. Apparently don't get concussions.
Adrian just looks freaked out. And it's like happy he's never been injured.
Like you just ruined this whole movie. Like this wonderful piece of cinema. Because you were 8 and couldn't let this go.
It's Matt, though. Are we surprised that child Matt did that?
No. I thought this was adult Matt who did this, so I guess I'm less surprised that child Matt did it.
That's why I asked the age.
It all makes sense now.
Does it? Cool. Alright, so basically we're going to do this a little bit with, we're going to start off with a little bit of background of where Jurassic Park and kind of the concept, and then we'll kind of get into the, what people I guess know as Jurassic Park. So one, this is a basically, the background is Jurassic Park came out in 1990, and it was a book written by
Michael Crichton.
Yeah, Michael Crichton, I had to get the name right. And he's also apparently a big sci-fi thing, notable for
it
like...
It might be Crichton.
Crichton.
It's Crichton.
I was like, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, John Michael Crichton, yeah.
Yeah. But basically, it's notable for like the Andromeda Strain, which I actually love that movie, and stuff which I haven't seen in a long time. Congo, The Lost World, which is obviously the sequel, and Sphere, which also I really enjoy that movie. He's also had a lot of weird debates, but yeah, interesting guy.
What debates?
So, a lot of his viewpoints on science and some of this stuff, which when he writes about a lot of this stuff in here, weird, because he's actually kind of more of a science climate denier, but he's not to the extreme. But then as more of the thing of we shouldn't be investing our time and money on this because it's not as important as other things.
Okay. I'm sure you're going to go into the background as to why it was written, so I'll bring that up then. I'll ask my question then.
Oh, I was
like
not going to go...
the concept of it.
Oh, and the concept of actually what he wrote?
Well, like, I'm not surprised to hear that he's kind of, like, anti-science, or at least not put money in science, because, like, the Jurassic Park is a standpoint that you should not be fucking with the world. Essentially.
Okay,
sorry.
Is it like a science background, or is he just an author?
Just an author.
Oh, okay, cool.
He just writes a lot of science.
So either way, his voice doesn't matter when it comes to science.
So his opinion is wrong, because he doesn't
exactly
have anything. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Anyways, basically Universal Studios actually bought the rights to Jurassic Park before this book was even published in 1990. So, yeah. So the movie actually doesn't come out till 1993 with the original one. Universal Studios bought the rights in 1990 before based on a book in later of 1990.
I mean, dinosaurs, dude.
Yeah, which we'll get into the thing. So what is Jurassic Park, the concept? What is Jurassic Park, like the concept that he actually wrote this book on? So I'll go basically a brief thing. Basically, to summarize, it's a cautionary tale about genetic engineering to illustrate the mathematical chaos, the mathematical concept of chaos theory and its real-world implications. And for those of you that do not know what chaos theory is, I'll do a little brief thing, which is actually pretty fun to have these conversations, but we don't have enough time for all this. So if we do another podcast on just chaos theory, that'd be awesome. But anyways.
If anybody wants to come do a crossover episode with Matt on chaos theory and Ian Malcolm, feel free to let us know.
Well, so anyways, basically chaos theory, to summarize, it's a branch of mathematics focusing on the behavior of dynamical systems that are highly sensitive to initial conditions. Basically, it teaches us to expect the unexpected things, and it studies basically things we can't control or predict, kind of like with precision, kind of like the weather. If you ever heard of the butterfly effect, that's also kind of in there based on things of basically you can change little small things of initial conditions that eventually have greater effects down the line that
so
you
like
may not
see. Ashton Kutcher movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of the butterfly effect, which is in here.
I just wanted to see how you responded to me citing the Ashton Kutcher movie.
Yeah, well, the first one wasn't bad. The other movies that went straight to DVD are awful.
What's the other one? The Sound of Thunder?
The Sound of Thunder,
that
I believe,
amazing.
Is an amazing
Wait,
one.
What?
Huh?
There were other butterfly
effect movies? Yeah, there's like four.
Movies.
Yeah, there's like four
was
of them.
Was Ashton Kutcher in all of them?
No.
I was about to say, like, what? I didn't
yeah, no, there's
there
literally, like,
movies.
I think four.
The second one's actually not that bad. For a straight-to-DVD movie, not that bad.
I can't get past the dog scene in the first one, so I don't even want to know what's in the other ones.
Yeah. Now I forget where I was going.
Chaos theory.
But no, yes, The Sound of Thunder, is the other short story, which is actually really good. Yeah. The movie's not that bad. It's not amazing.
It's just nowhere near the short story.
The best part about that movie is towards the end when they realize that the whole goal is to have to reverse all this thing. And so they just know that, like, when people die, they just don't even care at the end. They're like, yeah. Oh, they're coming back. And so people are just dying left and right, and they're just running off like, oh, I lost my family member. Screw them. We got to keep moving. Because they know the whole goal is to get back. But it's just kind of funny watching them as they progress. Because at first, the first death, they're like, oh, my gosh. And then by the third, like, oh, this person got eaten. We don't care at all. That's the sad part of the one takeaway I took away from that movie.
This episode's going to go very dark.
Yeah, I was like, not for me.
But anyway, so basically, as far as... So that was the concept of Jurassic Park, but basically the way the book starts off, billionaire John Hammond decides to build amusement or slash theme park slash zoo of genetically engineered cloned dinosaurs on an isolated island. He basically invites people out for a weekend to visit for reassurance after basically they have an incident that happens where the investors are spooked. And this includes Ian Malcolm, the mathematician, and chaos theorist, which everybody knows is Jeff Goldblum in the
movie.
This,
Ian Malcolm, is one of the best characters of anything ever. Mostly because he's Jeff Goldblum. Continue.
Yeah, and basically they go out to check it and they find out that Dennis Nedry... Basically, Newman. I don't know the guy's actual name. I just call him Newman.
I
Seinfeld.
Think that's what everybody calls him because I don't
I'm
know
sorry,
him other than Newman.
But you're Newman. Sabotages the power of the park while stealing frozen embryos, which leads to the dinosaurs getting out, and obviously the rest is history.
Two things. My grandpa had the shaving cream can that he puts it in, and so I always, like, I got in a lot of trouble because I broke a couple of those, like, trying to see if there was something in there. Secondly, every time I'd watch Seinfeld with my dad, I would ask if they were going to put Newman in jail, or why is he alive? And then when my dad said that's not the same person, so of course he's alive, a dinosaur didn't really eat them, then I started asking if they were going to put him in jail. Kind of akin to Adrian thinking Samuel Jackson is really dead.
So I just wanted to, like, say that two out of the three of us thought people actually got ate in that movie. That's how good this movie was and how, like, much I thought, like, actual dinosaurs were killing people. And I also thought that, because my grandpa had those things too, and I was like, that's cool, I can put stuff in it.
Yeah.
And that's not how that works.
You actually can buy those, but they're mainly used for drugs.
Yeah.
Fun
yeah.
facts of that.
Not wrong.
Concussions, drugs, chaos theory.
Yes. Okay, so that's basically where it starts off with and how the book is and where they basically Universal Studios had to work with and ran with. So it leads us to the Jurassic Park media franchise. While a little obscured, there is technically a universe in this whole thing. You just probably don't see it, which I'll talk about. Yeah.
I just realized that although I did believe that dinosaurs were hurting people, I was not scared of them. I didn't believe that they would actually eat me.
Yeah, I wasn't scared of him. I was like, man, these actors are dedicated. Like, that's some dedication right there.
They signed up.
I wasn't scared. Like, I could walk outside. I don't see no dinosaurs. But I was like, man, I don't know where they did this or like what documentary this I'm watching.
I actually thought I thought it was really cool when the guy got eaten off the toilet.
Don't worry, that was the one thing that everybody laughed
like
about.
One of my
in
favorite
school.
Things growing up
was we cheered on how the guy got eaten off the toilet.
I was sad about Samuel.
Yeah, his arm just falls out.
I did not actually realize that was Samuel L. Jackson until probably about like 10 years later.
Yeah.
Despite watching the movie, I've seen that movie at least probably about 35 times.
I'm actually surprised we didn't watch it before this.
I don't need to. I can probably do it.
Yeah, this was like one of my like top 10 favorite movies, and I've watched it repeatedly when I was a kid. Even after I figured out the dinosaurs weren't actually eating people, it was still good after that.
Yeah. So I guess there's a reason my brother isn't my best friend, but like he was that in the third movie, was it the third or second movie where they have all the pterodactyls coming out?
The third one.
Yeah, that scared the shit out of him, and I told him it was real. And that may be why we have some strain in our relationship. He was terrified of dinosaurs.
Which is actually, when you look at some of the studies they've done, it's actually very rare.
Dinosaurs being scared of?
No, kids not liking dinosaurs.
Oh, wow. That's actually weird. I actually have a friend on Facebook who made a Facebook post. Before you share anything about Jurassic Park, please make it so that I can't see it, because she's like deathly afraid of dinosaurs.
No, I think they said almost like 2/3 of children with from the studies they've done. Like, I think it's almost 2/3. I want to believe of children like love dinosaurs and find this very interesting concept in this high moments where they usually enjoy it for like, you know, 6 months to about 3 years. Why they have this heightened like intense love for dinosaurs for some reason?
That's really. I mean, they're big animals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did anybody ever go to like the Discovery Store and like play with the bones? They have like bones in a thing, and you could be like an archaeologist and like brush them off.
Can I talk about the actual media franchise now?
Yeah, let's talk about it, because you can talk about Jurassic Park 3
yes.
being a terrible movie.
I know, that's what I'm saying. We will get there.
Movie so much.
Yes. So anyway, so Jurassic Park media franchise, which apparently is a universe. The movie started in 1993, and now with the new reboot, basically present to present day, with Fallen Kingdom coming out, I believe, one day after this is released.
And we're going to see it tonight, because we have, or the day that this release, we'll be seeing it. Because this is our first time we get, like, press passes.
Stefani has tickets for Tuesday.
So where'd she get the tickets for Tuesday?
I have no idea. She's like, I'm going to go see it Tuesday.
I'm in a lot of drawings for Tuesday drawing, but they're not announced yet until, like, I think Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'll find out, like, Saturday, Sunday.
I told her that Matt put the links in the thing, and when she checked it, that she could go see it, because she said that you didn't tell her. I'll cut this all out. That we had got it early.
Oh, because I'd already gotten the tickets, like, when they first went on sale, because I wanted the cup, because the cup looks dope.
The cup looks dope. The
cup's already sold out.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this how it's going to happen now? Y'all going to be all fired from the damn
this
podcast.
This is how it always happens on every episode.
So, as I said, movies from 1993 to present, with Fallen Kingdom coming out, the newest Jurassic World 2, on June 22nd, pretty much a day before, or a day after this is released. There apparently are 5 movies out, including that newest one, with another one set to be released in 2021. Apparently there are 2 trilogies set up. So now we have the OT, and we have the whatever they want to call the next trilogy thing, even bother.
The ST.
Sure.
The sequel trilogy.
There you go.
Jurassic Park.
Yes. So we start off with the movie Jurassic Park 1993 with the, everybody knows this one, Rotten Tomatoes score of 92, IMDb's of 8.1, which is apparently at this point amazing for IMDb.
Yeah. And I feel like it should be higher on Rotten Tomatoes, though.
Yeah, well, this is also, like, everybody backdating a lot of stuff, too. And then we have The Lost World, Jurassic Park in 1997, with a Rotten Tomatoes score of 63, IMDb of 6.5.
I like that one a lot.
I hate that one.
I love
I don't
that
hate
one.
It, but I don't really care
I just
for
don't
it.
Remember it, and it's never on TV. The next one we're going to talk about, I don't understand why this one keeps getting played on TV all the time.
So, the next one is Jurassic Park 3 in 2001. I hate this movie. I hate this movie a lot. And Rotten Tomatoes score 53, IMDb of 5.9.
It's annoying, and I don't know, I'm trying to like remember the actress's name, but all she does is like scream, Alan! Alan! Every 5 seconds on a place filled with dinosaurs. Like, are you stupid? Like, I'm surprised she didn't get eaten in the first 5 minutes of that movie.
See, that's why I like The Lost World, because Jeff Goldblum has already been there before, and it shows what happens when you do stupid things in the jungle with the people that are also there with them, and then Jeff Goldblum's gymnastics daughter is awesome.
Jurassic Park 3 is just terrible. I don't understand why it gets played like on like TNT all the time.
Compared to
like the other ones that are like compared to Jurassic Park, which is obviously better.
Yeah.
But this one, I see this one.
Less
on TV.
Royalty money?
All of it, maybe.
They probably get Lost or Jurassic Park 3 at a cheaper price than the other two.
Yes, which then leads to the kind of the reboot after 14 years, or the extended part, not the reboot, but I guess the extension of Jurassic World in 2015 with the Rotten Tomatoes score of 71 and IMDb of 7.0. And then, as I said, Jurassic Park or Jurassic World 2 coming out.
Fallen Kingdom.
And then apparently there is a Jurassic World 3 coming.
I like Jurassic World, except there were those kids were way more annoying than the kids in the first movie.
Yes. So, we also apparently they have a lot of video games we go, because we need to talk about all of their media franchise, and there's actually kind of a lot of them, but depends on how you count them and whether they're important, so I only did a few of them, because some of these I never even understood, and a lot of them are like random like PC games that you found back in the early 90s where you plugged in the floppy disk apparently or something like that. But the first one, Jurassic Park 1993, came out, game for the Super Nintendo, which I've actually played this one. And then you had Jurassic Park 2, Chaos Continues in 1995. The Lost World Jurassic Park 1997, I don't remember that one. Apparently there was a Jurassic Park 3 game in 2001, which I don't recall. There's a bunch of very ones. I think there's another Operation one, which you kind of have the park building. Then you have Jurassic Park the game in 2011.
I played that one.
Which is kind of the nearest one. Then you have the Lego Jurassic World in 2015. And then there's actually one that just came out the week before on June 6th. I guess get ready, Jurassic World Evolution, which is an RTS where you build your own park. Which
it's
is
so awesome.
Awesome, which I've been watching and looks amazing.
I saw Triceratops trample people yesterday.
Yes.
And then apparently people are like building their dinosaur stuff and then like letting their dinosaurs loose once they get it like filled in with people and letting their dinosaurs eat people.
Well, one, apparently that's part of the goals and mission for security to test security.
See if they can stop dinosaurs?
Yes.
And sacrifice people.
Well, you're not supposed to let them actually eat the people, but sometimes mistakes happen.
I would let them eat the if it is a goat or a person, I'm gonna let them eat the people.
They eat a lot of goats.
Yeah, they eat a lot of goats. I mean, I don't think I've played. Now that I'm looking at this, I don't think I've played any of these. The arcade like rail shooter, like reset.
Yeah,
and,
I remember that one.
Oh, that one's fun.
Yeah, in the arcade. That's the only one that I remember, like, distinctly because those Raptors sucked.
I didn't put that one in there, but there are a ton of, like, smaller ones. That just, I don't even know how much it's actually part of Jurassic Park.
It's just crazy because it came, because I was looking it up on Wikipedia to make sure I said the name right, and it came out in, like, 94, so it came out a year after Jurassic Park did, and it just stayed in, like, Peter Piper pizzas and, you know, Chuck E. Cheese's like all this time and like hasn't gone anywhere, so it's crazy like how that arcade game is still relevant.
Yeah. And then we have two short films which Kate mentioned earlier. Lego, they're both Lego Jurassic Worlds, and they have the Indominus Escape and Employee Safety Video.
The Employee Safety Video is so good.
Yes.
I can put a clip of that in the show notes.
And then apparently there have been some comic books as well. There have been two runs/comic. I don't know whether these are comics or they're comic adaptations of, like, stuff. It's kind of weird because I think some of them are, like, 130 pages. It's really
it could be a trade volume.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure. So basically it was 93 to 97, Topps did it, which they mainly did adaptations of Jurassic Park and the Jurassic World with obviously a few several tie-ins. Then IDW Comics from 2012. 10 to get technically the present,
yeah,
mainly from 2010 to 2012, and then they took a hiatus, but since with Jurassic World come back, they've written more.
Given the company names that you gave, I'm gonna say that they're trade volumes because they probably did do a single issue print and
yeah, they're like trade paperbacks trades. But they're supposedly comics per se or something.
Yeah, like, no, they're still comics, so like you can go get like Ultimate X-Men and it's like 300 pages of like all of the X-Men individual comic books that have come out over like the past 20 years.
Yeah.
So like they can like trade paperbacks can get really big. Like they're bigger than my trades, but like that's just what it sounds like.
Yeah, I think IDW, because we've talked about IDW before, and they're the ones who do like the new Transformer comics. So I think they do a lot of like movie to comic.
Yeah, they did the Tomb Raider ones as well, I believe.
Yeah, they also own the rights now from Topps. I believe Topps went under.
Yes, they
do. So they own the rights if they want to reprint, like, Jurassic Park and Jurassic World, or the Lost World Mall. And then, obviously, the one that I believe a lot of people know, surprisingly, Jurassic Park The Ride was introduced in 1996. It's a water-based roller coaster ride at Universal Studios Hollywood, which obviously has opened other places. And it's actually closing this year on September 3rd. This year to be redone to be based on Jurassic World. So, getting to the but why though now. Basically, because I wanted to talk about this, I kind of want to do it quick because one, this franchise has been around, I guess, as a franchise, and so I want to talk more about a lot of the other stuff of why it matters and explain everything. So, first part of why, though, it's technically a successful franchise. And I'm going to say this... I'm going to say this as a yes and somewhat of a no. So I'm going to start with the good. So the good part is Jurassic Park as a movie franchise, it banks. It makes a lot of money. So basically for only having four movies out, remember four, because this is when we start running the numbers here. It's 11th domestic highest franchise at $1.45 billion. Technically, it can be dropped down to 18th, depending on whether you include the 2013 3D release of Jurassic Park, which apparently was a thing that I completely forgot about.
I don't even remember that at all.
I know. Apparently, they put it back in the theaters for, like, I think a week or two, and then put it all in 3D.
Yeah, obviously, why not just go to the Universal ride if you want it in real life?
Yeah, so apparently, depending on whether you count that money or not, depends on whether they're, like, 11th or 18th. That's basically because number spots 10th through 18th are separated by, like, maybe $100 million, which in this day and age is not much.
Yeah, if your movie doesn't make $400 million coming out and it's a blockbuster,
yeah,
you failed.
Yeah. They're actually 12th worldwide for the highest franchise at $3.84 billion, which, I mean, all these are nice money. Like, oh, 10, 12, like, they only have four movies. Like, the movies, like... there's only four. To say this, like, simplistically, like, right now, if Jurassic World 2 makes $500 million domestically, it'll move up to the sixth all-time highest grossing franchise.
Wow.
And that's what's tight with five films, which the only ones being ahead of it will be Star Wars, which will have, like, 9 or 10. The MCU has, like, 18. James Bond, 20-something. Harry Potter's got 9. All the Batmans. And it'll move up to, like, eighth worldwide. I mean, like, the only things that are really, like, competing against are movies that have, like, almost two or three more million or movies made.
And James Bond has 26.
Yeah. So, it also... yeah. So, I mean, obviously, people love seeing these movies regardless. So, like I said, for four, they got a lot of money. The main thing about this thing is basically Jurassic Park, the movie, 1993, probably the main reason everybody's here to hear about this movie, because this movie's been, like, groundbreaking. It's had so many things involved. So at the time, it was the number one all-time highest grossing movie, which is actually funny for two reasons. One, it only opened in 2.5K theaters, which is it's actually about 2K less than what the average these days.
That's tiny.
And the funny thing was it only grossed $47 million opening weekend.
Also very tiny.
But it also stayed in the top five for basically 9 weekends in a row. And it actually only had 3 weekends where it was number one. So basically, it was just a completely strong contender without being a thing. And for those of you like, oh, what does that mean? Black Panther wasn't even in the top five for that many weeks in a row.
Yeah.
And that was considered like a phenomenon for like this huge thing of movies.
Yeah.
So it was also, I don't know if it was technically the first, but from what I found, it was like the first, but definitely the most like notable one. It was the first to actually make more money worldwide than domestically.
Because people love dinosaurs.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And this is also like 1993, which is like considered one of the best years for movies ever.
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like 93, 94, like
what else
that
comes out?
Range. I can look it up. It's really weird not being at my computer to like look all this stuff up before I bring it up. But yeah, that's super crazy. Like 9 weekends in a row. What month did it come out? Do you know?
Oh, I looked this up and now I can't remember. I think it's June, actually, if I remember correctly. I believe it's actually June. I think it just came out like 4 days ago. I think it's June 8th.
Yeah, because they had their 25-year anniversary recently, which I probably should have mentioned in the...
June 11th, my bad.
Yeah, June 11th.
Yeah, I think it's 1994 that's, like, the big year, but this is, like, still the same year as Schindler's List, Groundhog Day, Matt's favorite movie, Rudy, Hocus Pocus, things like that. So there are, like, it's The Sandlot, so there are movies out there.
It sounds like there's also a lot of movies in there bringing families into the theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a lot of family movies. Cool Runnings. A lot of good movies in
93. Out of all time, fun. When we adjust for inflation all time domestically, this is a 17th overall movie, which it may not seem low, but it's also where I get to this whole thing where we get mad about numbers. But basically, besides Titanic with 1997, Avatar 2009, and The Force Awakens, when you look adjusted for inflation, it is like literally the only recent movie, meaning... out of all the movies that's ahead of it, the other 16 movies, three are from the 80s and the rest are like 70s and 60s movies besides those three movies. Like, it's just kind of amazing, like this and Titanic, just how they stand so the test of time, a lot of things. And even at this point now, becoming Avatar, of like how much they actually grossed.
I mean, and I think both of those movies you mentioned, not Avatar, age well.
Yes.
I rewatched Avatar. It did not age well.
It's boring.
It is.
It's long. It's so very bad. Long.
Well, it's not. It's long, but it's long because it's boring, because it is about the standard length for like other stuff that we've talked about on the show.
Yeah. So, it's actually the number 26 worldwide all time. It was 28th. It was 26 before Infinity War and Black Panther came out in 2018. So, I'm just going to move away from movies for right now, because basically looking through all these numbers, you can start looking at everything. Basically, if you came out in the last 3 years, you're pretty much probably one of the highest grossing movies because of inflation and because of how high movie ticket prices are. And it's just so looking. So if you're going to cheer about freaking records or shit, then you suck because you didn't do anything.
I mean, I think clearly Infinity War and Black Panther did something. But
the problem I have with this is when you start actually looking at tickets sold, they are so far down. Like, people are not going to the movies, but we're setting record-setting movies and passing all these icon movies literally because we have such high ticket prices.
So what
the
you're
actual
saying,
price to go see Jurassic Park for the average movie during this time was $4.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that we shouldn't, for like movie success, we shouldn't be looking at box office money, but box office ticket sales.
Well, for one, you probably should anyway, but to me it's almost one of those, I think it says more about your movie if you don't make any money at this point.
Yeah.
Because you're basically, with the way blockbusters are and the way some of these franchises are, if you don't make money, it says to me more about your movie has a problem than I do with you coming out, shooting out, making $500 million. Because it's at this point, between like Infinity War, Black Panther, Star Wars, you're pretty much almost guaranteed that.
I mean, Deadpool made $128 million its first week as an R-rated film, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't think money's a good indicator.
Yeah.
Anymore. And I'll always just go back to, like, you can shout about money all you want, but...
Fast and the Furious
has three of the, like, top 15 grossing movies of all time. Like, it's not an indicator of, like...
So, Fast and the Furious and this franchise are actually really close.
It's always
except
weird.
Before you, just for inflation.
Yeah, of course.
But worldwide, it actually gets up there. But then again, like I said, Fast and Furious also has like three movies on it.
It's always weird because I never know if Adrian's going to pull that stat out as a, like, a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know where that punch is coming from when he pulls
out. I think it's I mean, I don't mean
it can go both ways.
Like, I'm just like, when people are like, "Oh, it's amazing because it made this much money." Like, it's an amazing movie because it made this much money. I was like, "No, it's just a fun movie that a lot of people are going to go back and rewatch." Like, it's not winning any Oscars.
Why?
I'm sorry.
Because the Fast and the Furious.
it's just dumb, and people like blockbuster popcorn movies, and people will go to see those. People aren't going to go watch, you know, a sad movie in the theater. It's just not the same. It's not comparable. But a movie like this that stays like in the top for 9 weekends is a big deal. Like, yeah. I think Matt's right. We should be looking at kind of more. I think we should be looking more or less like how long can they sustain people going to the movie and watching it
when little people
are actually going to the movies.
Which also leads to a different shift in culture we talked about, because as much as we say 9, like Titanic and Avatar actually held like the number one spot for like 15 straight weeks, and 15 and 16 straight weekends.
Yeah.
Like, just that is so unheard of even, like, movies apparently are in the movie theater for 4 or 5 months from what I look up, but they're done within like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy the way they've moved and shifted. Obviously, this year we had a lot of influx with the really close things. But even on your average given year, how fast things just cycle out super fast.
Yeah, I can't even think of, like, I don't even, if you, like, ask me, like, what is the last movie to stay in the theaters at number one for 9 weeks, it probably would have to, like, go back to, like, Avatar. Because I can't think of something that had, like, that long sustainability that people kept going back and watching it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
stayed number one given, like Matt was saying, like, the blockbusters that come out basically all the time.
Yeah.
So the fact that this did, even at its like low opening, it just, the numbers don't make sense of like how.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what's so weird about how high this is and how much the movie is. It only had 3 weekends at number one, but it just stayed in that top 5 range and like top two, three,
crazy.
Like every weekend. It was like, oh, we're all going to go see this. We're just not going to go see it more than the new one.
If you're listening to this right now, which you probably are because you're listening to my voice, you need to let us know if you want a math moment with Matt, because I feel like the last few episodes it's been Matt and numbers, and Matt either getting mad about numbers or telling people how numbers are stupid. Well, it's a good thing though, because like I don't know this.
Well, I think the movie thing just really makes me mad, especially this day and age, because literally I think out of the top like 15 to 25 movies of all time by box office, they all came within the last 4 years. And if you're going to tell me all the greatest movies came within the last 4 years, I'll call you a liar.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Especially when every year you read that people going to the movies is decreasing, not by like 1%, but like 3-5%.
It's rolling off a year. Really fast.
Continually.
But, yeah. And that's like why the ticket prices go up.
Yeah, and that's why it's like, oh, well, it made this much money. Well, of course it did. It cost $30 to go to the movies. It's not hard.
That's not even an exaggeration.
Like I said, we can literally go see this movie at 1993. You could have taken your whole family to see this movie for the price it is to see Infinity War based on the tickets when I looked in the inflation numbers.
Yeah.
But another thing that sets us apart compared to all these movies we talked about moving on, it actually won 39 awards and was nominated for 25 other nominations, and it actually went 3 for 3 in Oscars.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Because dinosaurs.
Which obviously everybody talks about here, which we'll get into in a second, that won for best sound, best sound effects, and best visual effects.
So like the standard genre awards.
Yeah, which is basically why this movie stands apart as much as it's good for the story or whatever and the dinosaurs. It's, as we kind of mentioned, the visual and sound effects for this are considered revolutionary and groundbreaking for its time.
And who was that composer?
You can tell me, because I'm not saying this because y'all wouldn't let me do another episode.
No, Adrian wouldn't let you do it.
I was just saying that the hierarchy of composers is obvious and apparent given the awards that they've won is all I was trying to say.
And who is this person? John Williams.
Yeah.
Nobody ever said John Williams.
Oh, sorry. I thought Matt said John Williams.
Matt said I will not say that name.
Yeah, John, this soundtrack is amazing. Like, yeah. It's like an iconic sound. Hans Zimmer's amazing, but like,
I'm not going to argue against the soundtrack.
The gates to Jurassic Park, just, that song that's playing and comes on, like,
it's just iconic, and like you play that in like a mall or something, and people are gonna know instantly what it is and like where it's from, just because of the sound and then like the visual effects that are associated with the sounds. Like you said, like the opening of the doors and like "Welcome to Jurassic Park." Yeah, it's just really good.
Wait, say that into the mic.
No, I'm actually kind of surprised that there weren't any like supporting actor nominations or anything.
Genre,
which actually I read an entire thing, which we'll kind of go into. Thing was the funny thing about this, which I guess I'll skip. Well, we're talking about the effects. I go to the effects before I go to the whole like other part. No, so basically, I said it was groundbreaking and revolutionary. They ended up with the most real. Basically, a lot of people said they ended up with the most realistic dinosaurs audiences have ever seen at the time
and have seen to this day.
Yeah, they used a combination of animatronics and fully computer generated creatures. The funny thing is, we talked about, I mentioned Dennis Muren, the guy who worked on the visual effects. Mm-hmm. He said he actually wasn't aware of the time that he was making, when he was making the movie, like how good this was going to be. And I wanted to bring this up because apparently there was a whole thing. Anyway, so Dan Muren, one of the guys working on the visual effects, who ended up being like a legendary visual effects guy, said at the time he wasn't aware of like how good they were making this movie when they were making this movie. And he actually said in, I guess I can do the quote, but he actually did an interview basically for the Hollywood Reporter or whatever, where he calls working on Jurassic Park, and George Lucas himself basically showed up, and, you know, and Dennis was like, hey, I hope, you know, I was hoping someday we could work on something, you know, like I love your stuff. I was hoping, you know, that someday we could work on something like 2001, A Space Odyssey, or whatever, you know, because like, how good, what that renowned for. And basically, George says, you don't know it now, but you're already working on basically something revolutionary.
That's really cool.
So basically, George Lucas already knew this was going to be history before thing.
So why didn't he use a lot more animatronics and practical effects in the prequels after this?
I don't know what happened there, but this was also 1993, and there are actually basically a lot of people changed the way they did a lot of their effects with future movies coming out.
I know, but it's sad because like I think Jurassic Park and the original Star Wars, but mostly Jurassic Park, is one of those things that really makes me like get sad that we have so much CG now. Like, I mean, the CG is so good now, a lot of it looks real, but like back then, like there is a picture of them leaning up against a freaking dead Triceratops, and it looks real.
Hey,
like,
whoa.
He wasn't dead.
Oh, she wasn't dead. Okay. She was just very sick.
Okay. The very
Don't
sick
you put
Triceratops.
That on her.
The very sick Triceratops. And, like, as a kid, I never thought that I couldn't go to Jurassic... Well, I mean, I did because they, like, the dinosaurs roaming around the island probably eat people. But, like... It was real. Like, I think that's why Jurassic Park is such a cornerstone in people's childhoods, is because of the visual effects. Like, they weren't cheesy and they weren't overdone. And I want to go back to that. Guillermo del Toro, blazing the trail, going back to it.
But you gotta admit, watching Chris Pratt, like, try to control motion-captured people playing as raptors is pretty hilarious.
It is. It's so bad. I hate seeing stuff with, like, the green screens before the renders. I hate it. It ruins so many things, except for Doctor Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch, like, getting tossed around without, like, the background.
Yes.
They photoshopped him into a water park. It was good.
So what also happened on this movie was Steven Spielberg and them invested in basically the creation of DTS, kind of what we know today, which is a company specialized in digital surround sound formats and audio. So basically that's how this whole thing came about. What's because of this movie.
Was this like the first movie to do it? Is that what you're saying? Or like this is just like when they started playing around with it?
As far as I know, the whole DTS company itself was basically made from this movie.
Which makes sense, because the sound work, like, not even just the movie, but the sound work in this is, like, amazing. Because I know that, like, the T-Rex roar is a mixture of, like, five different animals.
They just grabbed a bunch of animals and start throwing together what they got.
And it's, like,
that
makes
sense.
Which kind of goes now to the next part of why this movie was crazy, because it's one, not only with the effects and everything, but also, like, kind of the marketing and the strategy behind this movie. So, one, they spent an insane amount of marketing on this movie. To say, basically, they spent $65 million marketing alone. And basically including 100 licensing deals and with all the toys. Which may not seem like a lot, but if you do the inflation, basically they spent $113 million in today's money marketing this movie alone. Compare this to like some things, like the average, I believe I found it, like the average marketing for like a movie is maybe, in this age, like $30 million. That's from, like, 2015 numbers, I believe.
Yeah.
The average marketing for in the 90s, if I remember correctly, was, like, $4 million. Like, the prequels, The Phantom Menace and all them, they didn't even... Like, The Lord of the Rings, they spent maybe $50 million in marketing.
Wait, this is more than the prequels?
Marketing-wise?
And the prequels had, like, Jar Jar Binks cups.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. This is why like, this is, like, no other... Like, the marketing and how much money they spent was, like, no other of the time. We don't think about it now because how much people just throw around money. But for the time, and even now compared to a lot of stuff, this was a shit ton of money for marketing.
Yeah, it makes sense. It kind of follows, like, to their thing today, because if you go watch, like, any commercial that's out right now, at least one out of the three of them are going to be about Jurassic World. Like, it can be a car commercial, and they're going to spin it into a Jurassic World commercial. The World Cup has commercials that are, like, Jurassic World related. So, like, it follows...
Jurassic World has commercials for other companies inside Jurassic World.
Yeah, it's really weird. Oh, God, we didn't even talk about that, about how dumb that was. But, yeah, it makes sense that they're, like, super marketed heavy, even, like, today.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know about today's numbers. I'm trying to find the actual marketing budgets. A lot of companies don't like to release
them.
They don't like to release that. But
they wrap it into their overall
budget. But for, like, what we found here from the few that I found, there's actually apparently a few papers out there, like actual study papers, which they did the money. We'll try to know how much the War of the Rings, and they did all the early, they got all the budget number for all the early 2000 movies.
I'm just surprised about the prequels, because there were fucking, like, there were Jar Jar Binks cups. And
they spent only maybe $50 million, and this is in 2001.
God.
This movie spent $65 million, and that's in 1993.
I'm, like, mad that I wasn't older when this movie came out. Because I could have gotten so much stuff.
Yeah. Which kind of leads to the thing, because when they kind of did it, they're also one of the first movies, especially if we talked about some of the movies there. Maybe not the first, but, like, from what I saw, it was kind of changing in the early 90s. I don't remember a lot of the movies. But they were the first to go away from, like, your high, big-name actors. And they wanted to focus more on the dinosaurs than the actual people in there.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was just waiting for us to get back to it. Because, like, I go watch this to see, like, humans in. It's kind of like what I want for like my Transformers, like why I used to go watch Transformers movies. Now I watch it for Marky Mark. But before, like, I wanted to see Transformers interact with people, and when I want to go watch these movies, I want to go see dinosaurs interact with people. Now it's more for Chris Pratt now.
Well, the funny thing is, like, the big names, the quote-unquote big names they had weren't even the big parts of the movie. Like, Samuel L. Jackson, I didn't even know. Richard Attenborough was, played John Hammond, but, I mean, wasn't, like, in the main thing.
You mean David Attenborough?
No,
Richard Attenborough?
Yeah.
Is he related to David Attenborough?
I didn't get a chance to look up, but I want to believe so. But no, Richard Attenborough, like a huge film person.
No, I know that.
Yeah. And then I went up to go look like the 1994 Oscars, and like Schindler's List, Philadelphia, and Piano basically like sweep everything.
Yeah.
And The Fugitive basically like sweep everything in the Oscars.
I mean, Jeff Goldblum was also kind of a thing at this point, at least from like the horror world.
But that's what I'm saying. He still wasn't like super.
No, big. He wasn't gonna like. I mean, I'm sure he didn't take home a giant check. Now he probably does.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think that T-Rex probably took home a bigger check than anybody in this movie.
Rexy's my favorite.
Yeah.
That's her name.
I know it's her name. I know Rexy. It's her name. So going from Jurassic Park, we'll go with a little more of the good of kind of Jurassic World, because it was the first movie we had in 14 years. It broke the record for opening weekend set by Avengers. It broke $1 billion. Obviously, because we just talked about the movie numbers, that record's not been broken not once, but twice at this point.
I think. Yeah. The same year.
Yeah, but the first movie, people were hyped. They got them out. They see it. The movie, it is what it is. But yeah, considering that's basically about the good of this. Like, how much accolades and what Jurassic Park, the original movie and the groundbreaking, stood for that. That's what's crazy about this franchise, which we get into the bad of. Besides outside Jurassic Park, the rest of the movies are pretty bad, especially critically. The next one is Jurassic World, which is a 71 and a 7.0.
That
the next
is
highest
a good movie.
Highest rated movie. The Lost World and especially Jurassic Park 3 are rated pretty poorly, as we mentioned earlier.
The Lost World is a good movie.
It wasn't that great.
Jeff Goldblum with his family.
Those are bad because... both of them are about, like, family stuff. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care about, like, lost people in the thing. I want to see dinosaurs.
Well,
I think that's why Jurassic Park does so well, is because, like, it's, like, the mystery kind of the world building of, like, how they did it. And then, like, seeing that animals break out is, like, this new and fascinating thing.
Adrian.
Yeah, they're being liberated. The other ones are just, like, going to find people. Yeah, no. And, like, you're
okay,
in the dinosaur world now. I'm just like, come on.
The Lost World, you're not doing that. The Lost World, it's less, like, I think at the end, there's more of it than the first one, but not as much as the third one, because I do agree the third
one is
shit.
I hate the third movie.
Because I don't care about that little boy. I don't care about anything.
That's the biggest disappointment.
But I love The Lost World, because you have damn dinosaurs on the actual, in a city, and stuff like that.
I just don't care about it, though.
It's just such a dumb concept.
Leave it alone, Adrian.
Unless you're gonna put them in a city with fighting Transformers, I don't want to see.
I want to see them smashing things.
I can go watch Godzilla for that. I want to see like these dudes in their habitat,
pretty much
chilling.
And even the early reviews so far for Jurassic World aren't looking pretty as now. I'm not gonna mention the reviews or stuff that's out right now because obviously it hadn't been released to the public and everything else. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Jurassic World was fine.
It was fine. Well, I think it was horrible.
The story was just kind of dumb.
Those kids were annoying. And, like, I've made it very clear that I don't like kids in my movies on this podcast. However, rewatching the first Jurassic Park, I love those kids. They're so curious. And, like, they want to know things. And the ones in Jurassic World are annoying.
They don't even want to be there.
They weren't even, like, my least favorite part of it.
And they got their babysitter killed.
My least favorite part of the movie was, like, the general dude who's, like... Because they try to, like... you can see, like, where they're going. They're trying to, like...
Kingpin?
Yeah, I can't remember the actor's name.
Vincent
D'Onofrio.
Yeah, like, you can see that they're just trying, and Matt's talked about this before, like, they just, like, do movies to make more movies, and you can tell that he's only there because of stuff that's going to happen in, like, future movies. So, like, his part is just dumb. Like, I just want to see Chris Pratt chill with Blue. Like, is that so much to ask?
I did like him getting eaten by raptors, though.
Yeah, like, but, like, the whole, like, his back, like, of his story of the organization that he represents is just dumb, and just kind of felt, like, forced.
Well,
they're bringing, like, the Asian guy back to, like, say, like...
No, that was cool. I liked that, because they actually explained why you get different dinosaurs.
Yes, I get that.
And why they weren't correct. Sorry.
Which also leads kind of the next point that I want to say, which is the bad, is apparently the world building.
Yes, that's really bad.
While through the OT, where you see a few recurring characters, like Sam O'Neill comes back for Grant, even though Adley and him not
making... That is the worst thing.
Oh, that's so bad. Or Ellie. Is it Ellie or
Ellie?
Adley?
It's Ellie. Ellie and Alan should have been together.
Yeah, but anyways, you see those recurring a little bit. Jeff Goldblum plays in the first two. Apparently they all take place in the same universe, but they really don't, all the movies themselves don't really feel connected at all.
I just want to know how everybody is still so stupid when it comes to dinosaurs when it has been happening for years.
Yeah.
There's a lot of it lost information. All this goes on. Jurassic World kind of brings people up back to speed, but not a lot. They kind of do a lot of homage to the original movie, which is awesome, but there's so much lost for all of this homage, whatever. There's so much homage to the original movie.
So much hummus.
Yeah, hummus. Hummus is gross. But there's still a lot of missing information. You still don't really know all this stuff. Even with, like, the new trilogy or whatnot, like you said, with the other character brought back, and you brought all these other people back, you really, besides seeing the thing in the first movie, you don't know what the heck they've been doing.
Ian Malcolm should have been in
Jurassic World. Apparently he's in Jurassic World 2, but like I said, they don't have everything coming back thing, which actually apparently really sucks even more, because if you actually read the outside material in the actual universe and what people put together, and like you said, the first two books, which actually kind of bridge the whole first part, it's actually pretty good, and you actually see all the characters, how they fit together, and how the islands actually fit together, and you actually learn they're actually on different islands.
Okay, yeah, so, like, well, I mean, you do learn that they're on different islands in the movies.
Yeah, but,
you
mean,
you don't see it.
You don't actually really see it, and
it's not said enough for me to know. All I know is Isla Nublar is the new one, but I don't know what the other ones are called.
One, yeah. They think that both of them start with an I. One's, like, Isaba, I believe.
Yeah, and also just like for the new one, I don't know if it's like a social commentary thing. If this was in the future, like everything would be Verizon, and they would just call it like Verizon stores, like to be like funny. But then they just like hit you with Mercedes.
Yeah,
like Mercedes everything. Yeah. Like no one wants a Mercedes SUV thing thrown in their face the whole movie. So it's just
yeah. So they're off the coast of Costa Rica.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yes. Which way you're kind
of... the original one. So Isla Nublar is the...
Well, it's the original and where Jurassic World takes place.
Yeah. Isla Sorna is the other one. And there's a third one, but I don't know what that's called. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Isla Nublar and Isla Sorna are the only ones that are popping up, so...
There's more than that. There's so many more.
Oh, Isla.
I told you, there's actually quite a few islands.
Okay, yeah. Isla Sorma, Isla Tacaño, Isla Matasseros. I guess those are just, like, the actual existing islands in off of Costa Rica.
But anyways, you basically, between this stuff, you get... You know, you kind of learn if you actually read the stuff, you can see all the islands and whatnot. Which one I wasn't sure if these islands actually existed when I was a kid, and so that was a thing. But you actually,
Look how much mystery this movie created. I think why the first one is so good because
it's so immersive.
Is it real? Is it not real? Like, are these like actual islands? Did they film these in actual places?
Well,
like,
actually, lead to my next fun story. I've actually visited and been actually at the scene of where they filmed the first Jurassic Park, and where they're actually running through the field and they hide behind the stick. The giant stick. I've actually been there.
Oh, did you find Samuel Jackson's arm?
No, I didn't see the arm, but I have actually been there and drove an ATVs on there. Another fun Jurassic Park fact. But yeah, so you actually learn what that company is, InGen, how they made the thing, how they managed to make the amusement parks, how all the stuff fits together. If you actually go inside to read all the stuff, but problem is you don't get any of that in the movies.
Yeah. Once again, don't put it in a book. Or don't have, if it's in a book, put it in your movie. I don't know how to address this with this many movies.
Yeah, there's no excuse. You have six movies planned. Like, you couldn't have put in InGen stuff in, three movies ago. Like, why did you wait so long?
Like I said, because much of you like The Lost World, I was turned off by The Lost World because it kind of just completely felt so completely detached from Jurassic World.
Oh, it was. It really, really was.
And I was just kind of did they just pay Jeff Goldblum to come back and that was it? Because why is everything? And then I was like, where's Grant at? Grant just disappeared this whole time.
Comes back in the third one.
Yeah, we tried to act like that existed.
Alan!
I still really want us to cosplay Alan and Ellie. Just saying. Yeah. Also, fun fact, Matt's done work in paleobotany, and Ellie is a paleobotanist.
Yes.
So Matt's gonna be Ellie?
No.
When I rewatched it, that was the first thing I thought.
So that's kind of the bad parts of this whole thing. So they are successful, they make a lot of money doing stuff, but there's a lot of like flaws and plot holes and weird stuff that goes on.
Which it's kind not of, a good franchise. Overall.
Yeah, yeah. But to lead to the next part of like kind of like another but why though of dinosaurs, which we kind of met. People just love dinosaurs, which I think is why everybody shows up and it makes a ton of money, and we don't really care whether there's a plot because there's freaking dinosaurs everywhere.
Just make something really big.
So basically, like I said, from basically the Flintstones early time to basically you have pets and everything, people just love dinosaurs, and people just will show up to see dinosaurs, especially young children and young people, which is actually weird, considering the series is actually semi-family / semi horror genre, especially the first movie.
Yeah. Adrian is
I'm just thinking of like the when they're on the highway and like the kids are literally holding up a piece of glass so a T-Rex doesn't eat them. Like that seems pretty terrifying. Terrifying.
Well, actually the funny thing is I believe it's the second movie opens up with a little girl gets eaten by all the little compies.
Yep.
But they don't actually show it. I don't think people realize know it.
Do you not
realize,
remember that?
I don't remember.
Yeah, you
that.
Don't
yeah!
You,
unless you're on the beach.
You don't you don't realize
family. It. You're right. Yes. But they don't see it.
You know what happens, but they didn't they played it off just enough.
Yeah, that's messed up.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
But it's just funny because people like kids love this and everything else and fascinated.
Not
but
my brother, because he saw it as a horror movie.
Which is actually funny because it leads to another Jurassic Park fun thing of I actually was not allowed at the time to actually go see this movie in theaters, and it took me a year later to actually see this movie because between which parent you have the time to pay, it's whether you can see a PG-13 movie depending on your age or the other parent who says you can see PG-13 but not R, or you just have another parent who dictates over the other parent of family dynamics. But I actually did not actually see this in theaters or whatnot, and wasn't until about a year later to when I saw this movie.
Which is real. That makes me, like, what was, like, when they made this movie, who was their audience? Like, were they going for adults to tap into, like, that piece of them that want
There were
that?
So many kid toys that it was so weird from a lot of the marketing.
Well, there's
I saw,
so many kids toys for everything now.
Well, I know, but considering it was a horror, like, type movie, it was, like, marketing of a lot of, like, kid toys and everything to sell dinosaur stuff.
I don't know, maybe it was just, maybe they just, like, struck a good balance of, like, hey, we know we're going to get kids in there with dinosaurs, but we're also going to make a compelling story of, you know, this is
and
how we...
And show a guy getting eaten on a toilet and show a severed arm.
Exactly. Like, this is how we're going to make, this is how we made dinosaurs. Like, look at this, you know, fantastic world, but there's dinosaurs, so you know kids are going to be, you know, butts and seats, obviously.
Which I think if it played into this whole thing of why it wasn't rated R, because of, like, how they, since they used dinosaurs, if I remember correctly.
It's also a different time, too. Like, if you put, like, a severed... bloody arm in a movie now, like that's not PG-13, I don't think.
Well, like I said, I think depending
no,
on which...
No, it is.
Is it?
Yeah. It, like I said, they were able to get away, if
standards
I remember...
Standards have gotten laxed as time goes on.
But they also, like I said, I think here... I can't remember. There actually was a thing of like why it wasn't actually rated R, and it had to do with basically because dinosaurs were not actual people and was actually killing them
so,
and
like,
everything.
You...
Rexy has feelings.
So, like, if you put a severed arm in a movie with humans and you know a human made that arm severed, then it's an R-rated like horror movie. If you show a lot of blood, that bumps up a rating. If the blood is blue, that cuts it down. It goes back down. It is no longer an R movie, which is why the MCU uses different colored blood for things, if you've ever noticed.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It. Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah.
It also works on taxes, too. So, like, X-Men dolls or mutants are not humans, because to be a human, it would be a doll, and they would have to pay more on taxes. So they conceded, Marvel as a company conceded, that the X-Men were not, in fact, humans.
That means a toys that made us, because I'm interested by that.
Yes, there's a lot of weird stuff happening. But yeah, so basically, kind of like what we talked about, like, people loving dinosaurs is, like, the mystery of it, the history of it. We have, you've ever been to museums, you've seen the skeletons, you've seen bones, and just captivate people. And so, but yeah, so I mean, I don't know why, but people love them, they see them. I'm pretty much going to go see the second movie, even though it looks like it's going to be awful.
It is about a boy and his dog, Matt.
It looks like it's going to be terrible, but I'm going to go see there for the dinosaurs.
I don't know. They showed two different trailers, so I don't know what this movie is going to be about. But
that's another thing. I don't even know a thing. That's about how bad the...
I'm just there for Chris Pratt and dinosaurs. I actually have no idea who else is in the movie, but I'm just there for Chris Pratt, and him watching him interact with anything is fun for me, so I'm down.
I don't remember if it was a Jurassic Park book or just, like, a regular, like, learning book, but it was really cool, and my mom didn't want to get it to me because she thought I was going to be afraid, but my dad was like, no, get it for her, she'll love it, and it was a book that you would open up, and it would take apart, like, layers of the dinosaur, so, like, you'd have, like, the top dinosaur, and it was the entire dinosaur, and then it'd take off the skin, and then it'd take off the muscle, and then you'd, like, go through and learn about, like, the systems of, like, that are inside the dinosaur, and, like, what it ate, and all that stuff. It was really cool. It looked really creepy, and I found that book at my parents' house when they were moving, and I was like, why did you buy this? This is actually a very scary book.
Yeah, I mean, I learned a lot about, like, science and genetics in general just from watching the first movie, for sure.
They do an entire breakdown of DNA in their first thing.
Yes. I was trying to transition, Matt. We got it, Matt.
We were on the same page. We were on the same page.
Which kind of leads to the next part.
I don't read the notes.
Which kind of leads to the next part of genetic engineering. And I guess we can leave with the Ian Malcolm quote, because I knew we had to put one in here, even though we probably could have done many.
Oh, I'm going to put them in here.
Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether they could, they didn't stop to think whether they should. And basically, this is the whole concept of basically the idea that Jurassic Park could be a reality.
Life finds a way, Matt.
Yeah. So, one, we do not at this moment have the technology. So, we've been able to extract DNA from these fossils and kind of like even the bugs that they kind of show. And the funny thing is that people want to say never. It's not never, because we just don't have the technology. So, there's so many fragments, and unfortunately, the way they are, it gets fragments smaller, 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 to eventually, if you get too small, you can't put it all back together. But, yeah, so to say this would never happen is wrong, but to say we can do it now is wrong. So yeah. We don't have the technology, but to say we never will, eventually we won't. Why we save a lot of stuff in science and whatnot. But what we have been doing...
So it's never a no in science.
You never use never. You always never use never or always. Or wait. Never use never or always. Or always... I don't remember how it goes. Damn it. Shit. Oh, well.
Bad scientist.
Leave things open.
Anyways, you don't ever say never and always in science.
So it's essentially if you haven't exhausted all possibilities, then it's not impossible. So you can't say something is impossible until you've done all things.
Yeah. Like I said, eventually, maybe in 20 years, we could end up like Jurassic World. We don't know because we just haven't done.
I want to be there.
But what we have done, which is cool, is this basically thing kind of known as like de-extinction and basically reverse engineering genes. Well, one, they're kind of two different things. We've been kind of reverse engineering genes, in which basically they've been taking birds, as anybody haven't, if you saw the movie, you learned, and obviously we've learned more and more, and actually they kind of explained Jurassic World a little bit, which is why I didn't understand why people got mad about some of the stuff, is they actually look more with feathers and everything. So they've been taking embryos and everything from chickens and birds, and they've actually been like opening and shutting off and returning on genes to give them more of their old dinosaur looks. So they've actually done this with beaks, feet, and legs so far, where they make them kind of look like dinosaurs.
And that is so disturbing, but, like, really cool, and I want to see one. Are there any pictures of them?
I'm sure you can look them up. There's papers on this, like, no other, because it's been basically a giant debate, which we'll kind of get...
PETA's coming for our podcast.
which we'll get into the next section thing, but just talking about the things of, like, to the extent, pretty much one day we might be able to reverse engineer basically a chicken into a meat-eating compy.
So all I'm hearing you say is that all of those children who love Jurassic Park are now adult scientists, and this is what they're doing.
Possible. Plausible.
Yeah. Because I know you have ever on here about like the mammoths. I know like that's been like a huge thing of like whether or not they should be messing with that.
So
I'm all for it. Bring back the mammoths. So, I want to see giant-ass mammoths.
So which kind of leads to the next part, because I kind of mentioned them both together. So the first part was reverse engineering, which can lead to what is basically known, and as you mentioned, the mammoth de-extinction, where you bring back. So they actually have mammoth like DNA. So being able to like petri dish your way to a mammoth.
So have they actually like... Have they saved, like, DNAs of the white rhinos? They're extinct now.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they saved DNAs. Sure. I'm sure they did. Like, they still have smallpox put away somewhere.
Wait, but I'm saying, like, from a conservation standpoint, why are they not de-extincting white rhinos? Because that last male died.
Which, I guess if you... Well, for one, it's a little hard to do, considering they haven't fully, I don't think, made the process, which is why we don't have mammoths, even though I think we have somewhat processed. But one, you have to go with kind of like the goats when we were cloning things.
Yeah.
They may not live, or there is problems. Or yeah. even in the... So, and also kind of what they talked about in Jurassic World, they may not have a full genome, like, sequence.
Yeah, and they have to supplement it.
Yeah, so...
But, I mean, but I
which, obviously, we haven't... We do not have the possibility of gene splicing yet. Gene splicing is an awesome concept.
But, like, from that, though, like, that... Like, with a mammoth, I can understand that. But, like, I'm assuming you can get, like, really fresh DNA.
You still have to sequence from, all of it. Like,
oh, okay.
So I mean, which you could technically probably sequence
so
it, but then you actually
have to
know...
part of the genome, or...
Well, no, because, well, probably not, because you won't lose anything from sequencing. Sequencing will just tell you what all it is. But having the capability to do that and know what everything does within there.
Okay. Because all I know is just, at least with mammoths, well, I guess technically, I'm trying to think, like, where we fall
think
in
back
line
to my
anthropology
class.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Homo sapien, but there were hominids.
Yeah.
Mammoth. Which depends on whether you believe the whole thing, whether we actually drove the big mammal to extinction, such as, like, the mammoth or not, or whether it was something else.
Yeah, so I was just...
Yo, if we killed mammoths with sticks, yo, those mammoths should have been better.
Well, because there was
a weight up mammoth.
Well, because of North America, back in the day, we actually had a lot of large primates.
The giant sloths!
The sloths, the
saber-toothed giant armadillos.
El Paso has mammoth fossils.
Yeah.
We went there and saw them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the thing was, basically, there's a theory basically saying, like, why did they die? Was it because of, basically, because evolution only allows you to get so big to where you should be able to, you know, feel your thing? Or, I mean, which possibility, and also whether humans end up taking over and killing them all.
I would love to see humans try to kill a mammoth with, like, sticks.
Stop.
And, like...
Well, you just reproduce a lot faster than other things.
Yeah.
Sure. It's like a zombie horde. We can overwhelm a mammoth.
I would just be so scared to fight a mammoth.
Yeah.
Like, they're just so big.
Back then, people weren't afraid of things.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
That's also why they only
live. They didn't walk outside and freak out.
But also were afraid of things. It's just why we survive. It's like a weird...
Well, they
thing,
actually had
right?
rational fears. Not
yeah,
irrational
yeah.
fears.
But
yeah. Let's be scared of the saber-tooth. Big-ass mammoth, let's go take it out.
Yeah.
All I'm trying to say is that it would be awesome to work on this process for animals that humans currently, because we're awful, have driven to extinction before
well,
we do the mammoth.
Which lead to the question, which I had some kind of questions of going into this, of like, basically, should we be doing de-extinction in the first place?
If it doesn't fuck with the ecological system...
Well, you don't know that.
Yes.
That's the whole point of chaos theory.
Well, I mean,
you don't know.
Given what we have now, like given the fact that we can corner off pieces of land for like refuges and stuff like that, but also like I think we have enough information to know, or at least like have a probability of what would happen if we reintroduce a new species into a certain area.
But how far back do you go?
You bring back giant sloths.
Well, yes, Adrian, you bring back the giant sloth. But no, I think being reasonable...
Well, what's being reasonable?
Bringing shit that we've killed to extinction within, like, the past 100 years.
Well, what about if someone died 105 years ago?
The past 100 years.
Yeah.
But why are those animals more better?
And I would say because we probably have more data to, like, make sure that, ecological systems don't collapse. Because that's probably the biggest fear is what happens when you reintroduce
a
new animal.
Well, why did they go extinct
like
in the first place? Like, where are we putting all these animals? We already have enough problem with space and everything because people keep reproducing.
Well, one, stop humans from reproducing.
So now we're not allowing...
It's all about the animals, Matt. But two, like, they go extinct, honestly, because of, like... It, like, if you look in, like, Africa and, like, those animals, like, all of those are things that are that humans have deemed culturally significant, which is why they're hunted for their ivory, they're hunted for all these things. Like, whether humans...
Well, what about the things that go extinct that were not human-caused?
Oh, well, then I don't think we have an obligation to...
Why not?
Because
we have the power.
Didn't do it.
We have the power to stop it.
In a perfect world, yes, but... I'm trying to be logical here because I'm never logical on this podcast. I'm just saying stuff that we personally have contributed to their extinction because rhinos are gone, or white rhinos are gone now, and it's very sad. So, yeah.
So I guess besides the extinction question, like, do you believe we should be doing genetic engineering?
Yes.
I'm cool with genetic.
So where are we drawing the line? Are we just only doing it with people? Are we doing it with just animals? Are we going to make some cool looking like cats that can fly? Should we do it with people? Are we going to end up with Gattaca?
If there is a gene that can let me fly, please turn that back on.
I mean, I'm all for Gattaca stuff. Like
I thought
Gattaca was an amazing movie. I was like, if I could depict exactly what my kids look like and make sure there's no like disease or anything like that, I'm all for that genetic. It's just super expensive.
As somebody who would,
I'm down for it.
Like as somebody who has the breast cancer gene and has like a very, 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 very high chance of having the Alzheimer gene.
Yeah, take
that shit away from me.
Maybe we should.
I don't want it.
Yeah, like it's.
So was it only for diseases, or can I like can I get my own wings?
Well, I literally just said that if somebody has, if there is a gene in me that.
Well, I know, but I mean for wings, but I mean just for like whatever people want.
I mean, like like people. There's a reason like why there's like the, that athlete won the genetic lottery because they have like the genes that make them freak athletes. And
yeah.
If we were all freak athletes and. That'd be dope. That'd be super dope. If everyone was a freak athlete, no one wouldn't be.
I would like everybody listening at home right now to know that I am not taking into consideration the wealth disparity that this would bring. I'm just talking about the ideas behind this because I think it would be cool. And I think, like, just people are, like, what is it, like, genetic therapy is one of, like, the ways that people are combating really, really aggressive illnesses. And then also genome mapping is something that's been really important to like make sure we're progressed. Like,
so that leads to the question important. Of that, like that gene therapy and genetic engineering, like why can't we just let the people die because they're basically doing the same thing what happened to some of these extinct animals that you don't want to bring back?
Why do you make things hard, Matt?
It's not wrong. I just bring everything back.
Which
snap your fingers and everything is brought back to life.
Comes back. Yeah.
Which leads kind of basically, because as you talked about that thing of even de-extinction and whatnot, should we be even investing all this? Which is basically because a lot of people have had problems with this reverse engineering thing of like, why are we spending money in basically trying to bring back or reverse engineer basically your species when we could be using money in other places?
Because we spend money on stupid stuff anyway. Like, let's spend money on possible Jurassic Parks.
Our military has so much money right now. Yeah, so much
let's
money.
Let's get engineered military raptors. Like in Jurassic World.
Whoa, penguin.
Is what we need to be doing if it gives us dinosaurs.
So basically, I guess the question would be then, which we do basically as all the stuff, should we bring back the dinosaurs?
What are we classifying as a dinosaur?
Everything.
Just all of the extinct big animals and things. That
no,
are
I mean,
like,
well, the foreign
like, dinosaurs. Are you restraining it to a specific period, or can I say a giant sloth?
Well, that wouldn't be classified as a dinosaur.
That's what I'm asking.
Well, no, I literally said, should we bring back the dinosaurs? What does
well,
a sloth have to do with the dinosaurs?
I'm not a scientist, Matt.
Yeah, it's also kind of weird because like some of like the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park didn't even like live together.
Yeah, they were.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Well, they were in the Triassic.
So, are we talking specifically for Jurassic Park dinosaurs?
Well, I mean, sure.
Okay, or I mean, dinosaurs.
I mean, I would just assume. Well, I mean, you do classification of dinosaurs as a broad umbrella, yeah, whether it's the Jurassic, Triassic periods.
Technically, jerboas are still around.
But those aren't dinosaurs.
I'm down.
No, who would you bring back?
Oh, who?
Not.
Bring back?
I didn't say who. I said should we?
Oh,
yeah.
Should we?
I'm down.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what. I don't, dinosaurs are like one of the biggest mysteries on our planet, and like literally nobody knows. Nobody knows like what they look like because it's so long ago. Giant sloths, we got a pretty good idea because they're like far enough away where we kind of know more or less what they look like because we have sloths now. No one knows what a T-Rex actually look like. No one knows what a brontosaurus. I can't even fathom this size of a brontosaurus. I can't even picture it in my
so,
head.
So sadly, I'm gonna say no, just because of that's like a very surefire way to set off everything and make ecosystems collapse.
No, you just put them in a park. I'm serious. Like, that's the only way.
Those islands exist off the coast of Costa
saying.
Rica.
And we have tons of islands. I mean, like, we could do that. Because like, if it's like an ecosystem thing we're worried about, let's just go find some secluded things.
So you're going to kill that ecosystem
yeah, exactly.
that's existing on
yeah,
that?
Exactly. We'll just move that ecosystem somewhere else. Because dinosaurs are cooler than some gecko off the coast of Costa Rica.
You mean sloths? Because there's a whole bunch of sloths that, like, live on, like, these little islands and stuff
sloths
that are going to die.
Sloths are basically dead. Like, they don't do anything. Unless
no,
we're getting
I
giant
saw,
sloths.
In Planet Earth 2, I saw one swim across the river because he thought he was going to get laid.
It
he
took
didn't.
Him, yeah, because it took him so long to get there.
If we didn't protect sloths, I'm pretty sure sloths would be dead.
No, because we don't really
no.
protect sloths that much. They're really adapt to survive.
Basically, we don't
put,
have to by biogeography.
Put
yeah.
dinosaurs on that island to see if sloths survive.
See if we
now
would
if we didn't
wait like battle bots, but like dinosaurs. Because are they technically? See, then you come into like, are they technically alive? Because like we genetically modified them, so are they real? So if you had like raptor fights, is it unethical?
Which is
like,
kind, which kind of, well, that's what kind of happened with the whole thing of like when they did them when they put them in the park. Like, ooh, do we even need to also treat them royal? Do
yeah.
we
Wait, question: what type of dinosaur? Am I bringing back the mythical idea of the way the dinosaurs look in Jurassic Park, or and when I say a raptor, am I bringing up a tiny little baby?
I don't really. I mean, I think if people like cockfights, I'm pretty sure like they'll like little raptor fights too. So I don't think the size of the raptor really matters too much.
Well, the size of it matters whether it's going to kill you or not.
I will choke out a chicken raptor.
Yeah, but you will not choke out a giant raptor.
How do we know unless we do it? That's my point. We don't know. We don't know.
All it's a clever, clever girl. So I'm going to say yes. Like, ethically, no, but yes, because I want to use this line, because God creates dinosaurs, God destroys dinosaurs, God creates man, man destroys God, man creates dinosaurs, dinosaurs eat man, and women inherit the earth.
That was not where I think you were going with that, but that's fine.
Now you're talking about humans again. We don't care about humans. We just want dinosaurs.
What do you mean? I'm just saying. I was quoting Ian Malcolm and Ellie Sattler.
I know that, but I did not know. I thought you were going somewhere else with that.
I thought,
and they're really cool. Like, part of me really just wants to be like Adrian and say, I just want to know all about these dinosaurs and see all these things fight each other. And like, I would be okay if I died getting eaten by a dinosaur. But
no, I don't want to get eaten by a dinosaur. I just want to see one. I thought it was like the mystery. Like, I don't like the mystery of it. The mystery of why I think it's like more. I mean, I'm really sad white rhinos died. Like, it sucks. But I'd rather have a triceratops than a white rhino. I know what white rhinos look like. I have no idea what a triceratops looks like.
Oh, you have a general idea.
I have an exact idea what a white rhino looks like. I know exactly what that dude looks like. And the one in the movies was all sick, and they, you know, it was just bring back a lot of childhood memories. It's like a weird thing. I think the whole are they human, like are do they like have like the same rights as like animals who are not bred genetically, I think is, yeah, I don't know. I'd rather see us do it with animals because it's.
I don't want to talk about the human thing because then that gets into like another hour long conversation. It's going to turn into one of our Patreon episodes where like getting into deep moral things.
Well, that's the whole point of like between there's saying a few things in here. One is whether we should bring back animals in general for the de-extinctions. Two, should we be doing genetic engineering? And if we should be, what do we draw the line on? Is it only for treating diseases? Is it modifying animals the way we want? Maybe we want better looking. Maybe we can turn that rhino into a triceratops. Maybe we can. But and then it leads into basically, out of all of these, should we be investing any money in general into this stuff? Because one of the main counter arguments is this, we should be investing our money instead of like billions of dollars. I think they did an estimate of like rounding quote unquote of like $23 billion to make like Jurassic World, depending on stuff. What can you do with $23 billion?
We have a $1 trillion defense system where they waste fucking money. Like, there is a gun that is in existence that they paid to be made where one bullet costs like $5,000.
Well, so I know.
We don't need that.
But that's what I'm saying. The whole point is for every effects. Argument for that, though, there is a counter argument like, why do I need a raptor chicken?
Okay, so I'm not talking. Okay. All of this should be happening, and money could be put into it because in the future we could get a raptor chicken. But the big thing that this does is, and this is how people package it, and I know you hate this in science, but it is a benefit to humanity to work in a way that you can help, like, the betterment of humans. Like, if I
yeah,
really
extinction probably help humans in no way whatsoever.
Oh, well.
Yeah, all it does is give us stuff to look at.
Well, I mean, like, genetic engineering, honestly, is what I'm talking about. And, like, being able... Like, I wish I had been born with those genes. So.
Yeah. I mean, like, logically, I don't... You probably... Like, logically, it doesn't make any sense because, like, 99% of all species have been extinct. So, like...
Our time's a-coming.
You know, like, white rhinos and stuff like that. It didn't happen now. It's going to happen later.
Well, that's the whole point of, like, why I said, like, why are we only choosing 100 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it was... gonna happen.
Why don't we bring back the dodo?
Well, I only say okay, I only said 100 years just because of direct human involvement. Like, had that animal been.
Yeah, but we don't actually know probably how far back of direct human involvement goes. Basically, anytime we started building cities, we killed a lot of things.
Yeah.
So how far back are we going far city wise?
Really, Matt? I thought only us eating meat is what hurt all the animals.
We're not going into that conversation.
Okay, continue, sorry.
No, but yeah, like basically since we've been making quote-unquote civilizations or cities or anything else, we've basically been destructing ecosystems, whether people like it or not. Your house destroyed an ecosystem. Or part of an ecosystem.
Yeah. That's accurate.
So why everybody yells about save the rainforest, they don't care that we just flattened all this land up and made condos and apartments.
Yeah, we have this like really weird thing of humanity of like attributing importance thing to different kind of animals. Like right rhinos are cool, but like I'm pretty sure in the rainforest there's like a lot more things that have gone extinct like in that time frame.
Oh, that's stuff we haven't even figured out.
But white rhinos are cool because like they're big and cute, but like there's probably like little geckos.
Generally, people fight less for the rhino; they fight more for like a panda that's already like going up.
That's what I'm saying. Like that's like bigger animals. We attribute more importance like the bigger animals than we do like a little frog.
Well, which is also funny because you've talked about how basically pandas would go extinct without human intervention. Well, why should we not just let them go extinct?
Well, I mean, I would prioritize other animals over them, but like they use it to sell.
Why are you prioritizing other animals? All animals are equal, Kate.
No, they're not.
In the real world, everybody and all things are not created.
When all of the sharks die, the ocean will fall apart.
As much as everybody wants to yell about equal stuff, when it comes to actual biology, things aren't equal.
Do you bring back the megalodon?
Yeah.
I feel like Matt would bring back the megalodon.
We're screwed. Actually, I wouldn't mind.
If you bring back a megalodon, think about how much that thing would destroy an ecosystem.
Yeah.
I'm saying
that thing would just eat everything, and nothing would be able to kill it.
There's so much of our ocean unexplored. How do we know it's dead, Matt?
Yeah, like
Meg.
It was on the History Channel, Matt.
No.
There's a new one with Jason Statham.
No.
Yeah, it is. I'm pretty excited about it because Jason Statham's in it.
I know. That's going to be one of the ones that we record and Matt just like yells in the back.
No.
I'll summarize it for you, Matt.
No. But no, it's, yeah.
But do you bring back the megalodon?
Well, the whole point of that thing, too, is basically because we don't know what that ecosystem does, but basically the whole basis of chaos theory of, like, if we bring back a T-Rex, what's going
to
kill it?
That's not what I asked, Matt. I just want a yes or no. Do you want to bring back the megalodon?
Would I bring back the megalodon? Well, I'm kind of like, well, personally, if I could ride one, sure. But I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Do I know out of all the species to bring back, is that a bad idea? Yes, and it's not because they're just going to eat people.
I think we have enough information, not the ocean. I don't think we bring out anything in the ocean.
We don't know shit.
Yeah, and I think like the Amazon is even harder because of the Amazon has like the most biodiversity out of like any piece of
the whole
land.
Point about
but
this
I think that
is...
there are like some places that have been extensively surveyed and like people know about and have been working on trying to save these things. You can find out how to bring stuff back.
You say all this, but in the grand scheme, we don't know really that much at all. Ecosystems are way more complex than you can factor, and which is the whole basis of this whole entire
movie. I don't see a problem
movie.
With de-extincting like 100 white rhinos and putting them back on that piece of land that was
the problem they have with that is two between thing, which probably with more of the whole sequencing problem, with not so much that we can't sequence a thing, is like why we have creatures that we know are going to go extinct because you have to have biodiversity. And you have to have genetic drift and genetic diversity in general to have a species actually survive. Which is why we can have like 100 white rhinos depending on our thing. And it could be one of those depending on the genetic diversity. So if it's 100 white clones, then you have no genetic diversity, no nothing. They're all just going to die.
Yeah.
Whereas if you can make within the 100 thing, they actually have enough genetic diversity, you can actually grow the species.
But what if you had, like, 5 rhino DNAs, and then you made 5 rhinos, and then you, like, had them populate with each other, and then eventually you'd end up with
genetic diversity?
No, it doesn't work like that. You'll end up in a bottleneck. That's why the Amish communities, and we have blue people.
Yeah.
That's why Cain and Abel story is some of the dumbest shit in the world, because it doesn't make sense genetically.
Yeah, genetic diversity. Since you're a botanist, Matt, do they do work like this with, like, extinct plants?
As far as, like, what, trying to bring them back?
Like de-extincting plants.
Like what?
Like plants.
I don't know, but there's been talk of it, but I don't know if they've done it. They've done a lot of genetic engineering.
Is that easier or harder than bringing back like a mammoth or like a goat?
That would be more of a complete genetics question that I wouldn't actually know. Because
come on, Matt.
My bad.
You're a scientist, Matt. You're supposed to know everything.
That is such an academic answer and not an internet answer. Like, I am now an official in this because I watched a YouTube video.
Yeah.
I will now break down the genetics of this.
Yeah. The funny thing which we've done with genetic engineering and plants is, which is kind of some of the examples and why it's so complex and things with the whole coming back, is they've tried to mix plants and make these hybrid plants to where you can grow things that have, like, grow underground, carrots and whatnot growing around, with having small things like making it turn into like a broccoli carrot or something like that.
Up top.
The problem is they end up doing, or even trying to make it grow, not necessarily a broccoli carrot, but even the hybrid of like trying to make more bigger carrots with smaller like actual leaves or the top parts of it, is the genetics never worked away and they always end up backwards. So if you try to make like these whole genes to make like small little leafy parts and big carrots, you end up with like this giant leaf and no carrot.
I'd just be interested to see like giant
science is hard.
Giant Venus fly traps brought back. Giant Venus fly trap versus 100 chicken raptors.
Who would win?
See, I would just start
tweet
like
us. Let us know.
I would just start a giant fight club if I had like, the power to do all this, just because I'm interested in seeing who would win in these fights. Because we see them on TV all the time. Like,
well, it's just,
Jurassic World's going to be full of dinosaurs fighting each other. So don't at me, because you would want to see stuff fight each other too. That's what happens in the wild.
The funny thing is you bring that up, but if we took chicken raptors and we changed the word to dog, all of a sudden it's the most horrible thing in the world.
Not wrong. And again, it goes back to like we attribute
cultural significance to animals based on where you are, because dogs mean something here.
Yeah.
They don't mean something in other places.
Yeah, that's why I don't care about the right rhinos, but I'd rather have dinosaur chickens.
And that's the other problem. Like, you wouldn't be able to have one governing body deciding what
exactly
gets brought back, because all of these animals have different things. Like,
Well, according to the cords, somebody always needs a governing body.
Oh, God, no. But, like, honestly, because if you think about it, like, just if you look at, like, food as a spectrum, right? Like, we don't eat horse. We see horse as being, like, a terrible thing we're not supposed to eat, but in other countries they eat horse because it's a readily available meat as opposed to other things. Same thing with donkey, goat, dog. Like,
I would eat horse if offered to me.
I would too.
Yeah. My line is after horse.
I'm not gonna, based on everything I know, I'm not gonna say we've never eaten horse.
We've probably eaten horse.
Yeah.
Or
brown cape. I'm pretty sure we've eaten horse once.
Yes.
And not known it.
Yes. I've eaten cow eyes. I've probably eaten horse. Like, all I'm saying is just that, like, cultures attribute different things to animals, different things to pets. Like, it's not the same. And so, like, when we go into, like, do we bring stuff back, it's going to be really hard to decide what to bring back on, like, a large global scale.
Yeah.
I want a pet sloth. Like, a big, giant sloth.
That thing would be bigger, like...
Think bigger than our house.
Your roof. There's no
That's
way.
That's fine.
It would break your.
That's fine. I would live outside with it, and I would ride on its back, and it would sustain me.
I don't think it works like that.
Give me the white rhino before the giant sloth.
Which then leads into the obvious. We can keep going on this for hours and hours, but then the whole question of like deep blue sea. What if we make creatures end up smarter than what they actually already are?
Then we deserve to die, as like evolution says.
Well, the funny thing about that movie is they were trying to cure, I believe it was Alzheimer's for it, and then they just made smart sharks.
Chomp chomp.
Ridiculous.
I love that movie.
I know.
It's so good.
I'm not saying the science in the movie is good. I mean, what I'm saying is the concepts of what they were doing.
So, back to Mr. Ian Malcolm. We're so preoccupied with whether or not we could, we didn't stop to think if we should.
Yes. So anyways, final thoughts so we can wrap this up because this has gone way longer.
Last year, I rewatched all of Jurassic Park movies. Jurassic Park 1 is the only one that holds up, and Jurassic World recently came out, and I did not enjoy it nearly as much on my second and third viewings of it. But, like, fucking dinosaurs are awesome! Dinosaurs are great. I want to get back to the effects of Jurassic Park 1 because I'm tired of all of the CG being really overly used. Thank you. I don't know. It just hits me, like, I didn't think I was going to talk, like, well, I always talk a lot, but, like, my childhood, like people talk about their childhoods and stuff. Jurassic Park is definitely has like a really special place in my heart, and like I'm probably gonna be playing like that theme music over some of the pieces where we talk, like every time we reminisce about childhood, because like that theme music has like it like kicks in right away, and I just want to go watch that movie again, and I want to go watch it now.
Yeah, for me, like Jurassic Park just has like a spot in my childhood. It's one of the first movies that I remember like distinctly watching and remembering and like having conversations about. Like I literally remember the time with my grandma who's no longer with us. Like I remember like talking about the Samuel Jackson scene and being like, "Grandma, like how much money?" And like her like just looking at me like I was just like the most naive kid in the world. And like that, those were like childhood memories.
But did she correct you?
She did, of course. Okay. Yeah. But it's just, like, the effects are amazing, like, the story is, like, simple, and it has, you know, funny moments, it has, like, those moments of, like, kind of awe. The practical effects are amazing. I don't like the other two after it. I think Jurassic World is fine if they just didn't do it so, like, monster movie-y, where we're just, like, waiting to see, like, the Verizonsaurus or whatever they call it in the thing. If they just would have stuck it like more of, you know, Chris Pratt and like the baby and his baby raptor homie, I think that would have been a lot different. I'm excited for the next one. Like, I'm going to go see it for sure. I don't think there's any movie out that's like Jurassic Park that has like this cultural impact. It's like really weird that like, how the first one is so good and the rest of them were terrible, but they just keep making them.
I'm telling you, it's a weird thing is they keep showing up.
Yeah, they just
because
keep showing
dinosaurs.
Up. Basically, is all it is because yeah. I'm only going because dinosaurs. So, yeah, and then like all of like the genetic engineering questions are fun to talk about. Jurassic Park 4 or Jurassic Park 6 Fight Club.
And if you do like these deep conversations, check out our Patreon because I think all of our Patreon review episodes have had something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and if I have to, like, if you like, if Jurassic Park 5 is terrible, holla at me. I'll pitch Jurassic Park 6 with yes. Beast Wars and Dinobots, and I think it would be completely better than what we might get in this fifth one.
Sadly, I can't argue. Okay. I guess my final thoughts before we get to some all of the fan, but why those? Because apparently, his nostalgia for everybody else. This is still my favorite movie. It'll always be my favorite movie. It'll still be the only movie I ever own. Because buying movies is dumb. Just get a better memory. And if you don't like it, then you should train your children to do it. Because you can do that, apparently. Or just genetically engineer them to have great memories. Gattaca. But no, dinosaurs. I love dinosaurs. I think it's great. I still own Curiosity Stream to watch dinosaurs. So whether it's parallel universes or dinosaurs, that's about it.
Yeah, that is. That's accurate.
So yeah, I've actually followed and seen a lot of the shows they've made and some of the recent stuff they did with all this reverse engineering and how they're doing it and what they want to. I think it's great. But I don't care for the other movies. I hate the third one. I feel like the third one ruined my teens. That's how bad that one is.
It's really bad.
It is really bad.
It's really bad.
Even like the big dinosaur fight scenes aren't good because you just want the movie to be over by the time they happen.
Yes. The only good thing that came out of that was flying dinosaurs, and by that time I was like, I'm already like over this.
Like, just kill them all, flying dinosaurs. Kill them all.
Yes. I'm sorry, William Macy. But no, so yeah.
It sounds so weird without the H. William H. Macy. William Macy.
That's the move that drove him to Shameless.
Oh my God. Okay, God. Go.
But yeah, so let's get to some of these fan, but why those now? Alrighty. At Dr. Ragnarok. Jurassic Park is a movie that reminds us of two important lessons. The first one is that you don't mess with the natural order of things, but the biggest takeaway is to enjoy the little things in life, which is implied by John Williams' score. One, the score is amazing. Two,
Amplified
by John Williams. I'm reading this on a tiny screen. Okay, and the next one is by Etzer Ash. Basically, Ash, one of our lovely bloggers, and one of the hosts of one of our new podcasts, Safari Zone, which also sounds like could possibly be part of Jurassic Park, which I guess is Pokemon, the fantasy place of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
It was a movie that kickstarted my love for special effects. I remember seeing it and then consuming every possible piece of media on how they did it so I could make my own dinosaurs someday. Very accurate. At Joe Fro, or Fru. I'm going to apologize now if I mispronounce your name. By this point, you should already expect it. Saw it in a theater, about jumped out of my seat when the goat leg fell onto the car. 25 years later, it can still scare the crap out of me. Where's the goat? Not unless they figure out how to open the doors. Turn it off.
And these are quotes from the movie.
There's also some awesome humor to counterbalance the scares. When you gotta go, I'm always on the lookout for future ex Miss Malcolm.
That's actually a really good line.
Women inherits the earth. I really hate that man. No wonder you're extinct. These are all great quotes. Actually, this movie does not scare me because I have actually memorized every single thing of this movie.
I'm not surprised.
I actually used to, when I was a kid, I used to play it and I would close my eyes and see if I could time it right. But I also do that with a lot of time.
That is such a Matt thing.
Well, I actually used to do that when I used to drive across country to see if I could time miles. I actually got it down to where I could do it within 30 seconds. Where I could say, if we needed to go 250 miles, how long would it take us? At 3CTA Philly 8.
Matthew M.
Yeah. It was such a wonderful film. Story, special effects, suspense, the whole package terrified me when I saw it as a kid in theaters. At CJ Write Things, it was probably my first glimpse at the sheer scope that some films can accomplish. The first view of the park, accompanied by that wonderful score, moves me every time. It also, along with Independence Day and the first Star Wars, sparked my love for science fiction. By the way, Independence Day did come out 2 years after, or 3 years after.
Yeah, thanks to this movie for giving us Jeff Goldblum in Independence Day, because he's awesome.
Yes.
That.
At Green Eggs and Cam, JP is one of my favorite movies of all time, and I tired my dad out of it because I literally watched the VHS every day as a kid. It sparked my dino phase. Everybody apparently has a dino phase. That's what scientists say. That so many kids have, as he says here. The fact that it holds up so well is a testament to how amazing it truly is. It actually does hold up really well.
Yup. Joggerfest Andy.
At Joggerfest Andy, even though the second one is getting a bit of a pacing at the moment.
Even though the second one is getting a bit of a pacing at the moment, I really like it. It's a really weird mix of good ideas and bad ones. I agree with you, Andy.
I don't agree with your writing.
That's a complete sentence using actual words.
Getting a bit of a pasting at the moment.
Yeah, that means that it's being knocked on. Like, people are shitting on it.
I'd rather say shit on.
Well, he didn't. And he used his words correctly. You just got thrown off. Thank you for your but why, though,
But
Andy.
If we drive 3 hours, I can tell you how long it's going to take us.
Oh, my God.
At Five Meats, I was a huge dino Mark as a kid. Jurassic Park was the first time I felt I was watching real dinos, like really, really, really real dinos. Also, might have been the first time a movie made me emotional in the first welcome dino scene to the last rule the earth shot.
And he gave us pictures. That's really cool. Also,
yeah, that opening scene is like really amazing when they get out of the car.
It really is. But Adrian, I'm going to assume Mark is the wrestling term.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Five Meats is also a great person who like loves wrestling.
At Dr. Filter, was one of the only legitimate scares of my life. In a drive-in, in a station wagon, when the T-Rex attacks the kid, sent me to the front seat of the car. One of my fondest movies going experiences. I've also seen this in a drive-in.
Yeah, I could imagine that, like sitting in a car and seeing kids get attacked in a car.
Yeah, they get attacked in cars pretty often in this movie.
This is definitely a horror movie.
Yeah. Was there any else?
I'm kind of sad that I didn't get to go see this in theater. I mean, obviously, I wasn't born when this movie came out.
Yeah, you can't talk about it.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry. I'll stop. Dino Chicken Fight Clip.
And that's all for our But Why, though. Thank you for everybody, that thing, and hopefully you all enjoyed Jurassic Park as much as I did. And if you don't, I'm sorry for you. Kate, get us out of here.
So everybody, just so you know, if you want to check out all of the other podcasts on our site, go to butwhythopodcast.com, as well as check out all the articles we have going there. We're really building out a community, so if you're listening and you want to write for us, just let us know via Twitter at butwhythopc, or go ahead and send us an email, info@butwhythopodcast.com. And as always, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on whatever you listen to. Really helps other people find us. And you can find me at omemithrandir on Twitter. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperReuiz93.
Matt.
Shoota.
Oh, such a clever girl.
Called you a girl.
They're all girls.
Yep.